come, draw close, and feel the power of the Herd Stone. Your best location for Warhammer Fantasy Battle lore, hobby, and gameplay discussion. Welcome to the Herd Stone. If you don't know, today there was an announcement regarding the Old World at Warhammer Fest, and we are here to tell you all our thoughts about some of the recent information that came out on the Warhammer community, and also what was discussed in Warhammer Fest. And we want to talk to you a little bit about, you know, our thoughts about it and what it makes us think about the future of the Old World. So who do we have here with us today?
It's Brian here. Go by Rule on the Discord. The local greenskin fanboy who loves greenskins and has started collecting dark elves. Pretty excited about these releases.
Evan, I go by Durger on the Discord.
Hatsa Mike here. Excited to share my thoughts with everyone today.
All right, well, I know that you're here so you can know what happened at Warhammer Fest and also all the other amazing things that have been going on for the Old World and for Warhammer Fantasy if you end up not playing the Old World. But the first thing we want to talk about is something that we sometimes get as a question in the Discord. But recently, in the past couple of years, we've noticed that a number of the old lines for Warhammer Fantasy that are also in Age of Sigmar have been getting some updates that fit with Warhammer Fantasy. So we've got these Warhammer Fantasy lines, but they're in AOS, and they've gotten significant new releases in AOS that revamp the line. Do y'all have one of those that you noticed that you were interested in? One of them dropped, of course, this Saturday, so yesterday.
Was that the Lizardmen?
Yeah. Did you see it? Did you look at the pictures?
They look great. I'm not a Lizardmen player, but I think if I were, I'd be very happy with that. I know that you play Lizardmen, so what were your thoughts? I guess you're the best person to ask on that.
Oh, well, I mean, I already have a massive army that's primarily Saurus, so of course I've got like 60 Saurus that I'm looking at saying, well, these look scrawny compared to the new big beefy boys.
Yeah, the new ones are pretty big. I know I saw some pictures on the Discord of somebody trying to put them on larger bases, and they were still even having a little bit of overhang and having a hard time ranking up. So even with the larger bases that they'll probably be on, it will probably take some planning to make sure that those tails aren't butting into heads behind them.
Larger bases? What do you speak of?
Wonderful segue, Evan. A little early because we didn't talk about Chaos and Vampire Counts yet, but we'll just skip straight to the bases. Tell us about the bases.
Well, a couple weeks ago, they had a Warhammer community article that kind of spelled out some of their like model design philosophy and that sort of stuff. And they talked a bit about having to upscale bases. A lot of it is because they claim that late Warhammer Fantasy models were having trouble fitting on their bases, which is kind of eye rolling to me because it's true for some things, but definitely not the vast majority.
Well, and it's also not only true of late Warhammer Fantasy. Like, there's kits from 2006 or something that are also beasts.
Right. I think it's more likely that it's because they want people to use some AOS sculpts for Warhammer Fantasy, like we were just talking about. And, you know, a lot of those are much more dynamic and need more room to kind of spread out. And when you're playing a formation game like Warhammer Fantasy Battle, it just doesn't help to rank them up that way. So
now I'm pretty okay and positive towards the base side changes, so I'm going to hold back on what I have to say because I know some people might not like the base size changes as much.
Well, I just to touch on what Evan was saying earlier about their reasoning being that they were difficult to rank up. If we looked at all of these in the army books, the heavy metal was able to get all these to rank up just fine. and I was able to rank up most things just fine. So I don't know that it was necessarily fully truthful that, you know, these models are just too hard to rank up. They are just printing models bigger nowadays, and they just want to have the benefit of being able to sell those without having to worry about people complaining about it not ranking.
They mentioned in the articles too that, you know, it's the same 28 millimeter heroic or whatever they want to call it scale that it's always been, which is kind of a lie because there's been scale creep since I've been playing for sure. Models are just bigger than they were. So it's a little disingenuous. I'm not like upset about it or anything, but I just kind of gave it an eye roll when I saw that.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And also like if the Night Goblins in particular, since it affects me, go up from 20s to 25s, they're going to be kind of spaced out a little bit. I don't know if that's going to kind of carry the same aesthetic of a horde of goblins. They kind of all look, you know, like statues, you know, evenly spaced out. And
just throw two on a base.
That's true. I could make it extra tough on myself and well, put two on a base.
I did see one person do with rats. Like one of the things with Skaven is when they're on 20 mils, they kind of have to be like in lines. So they look very ranked. And when you think about Skaven, you don't think of them being neatly organized in, you know, tight formation or whatever. So I do think for them, the 25 millimeters, if people utilize it correctly, can make them look more like a scurrying mob rather than a, you know, lined formation. But with the Night Goblin models in particular, because they are standing with spears up, right, that doesn't fit as well.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool with like Skaven it if you have, you know, a small clan rat or whatever in the middle of a 25 millimeter. You can do stuff with basing, like put a lot of like little rats running alongside them, like underneath them, so it just looks like a tide of, you know,
100 clan rats with tactical rocks.
Tactical rats, yeah.
Tactical rats.
Nice. I like that. So you keep, well, what Ryan could do is he could keep all of his rats on 20 millimeters, and then whenever he gets the movement trays with the spacers in it, he could put little rats in the spaces to make it look like a swarm of rats is beneath the clan rats running forward.
Movement, that's a clever idea. I haven't thought about that. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's a...
jumping ahead. I apologize.
Yeah, I think that's one solution. I mean, you've already seen people with 3D prints of spacers. So you have a 20 mil and you just plop it with... essentially looks like an old skirmish tray that has the correct distance between them to make them into 25s. The only problem I'd see with that is some people might not like how it looks, but also you'd have to make notches halfway between... on those spacers to mark where the edge of the 25 mil, if the specific edge of a base matters in the old world.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not a big deal, but
Mike, you had a concern though, other than, you know, the rebasing, which I think people can avoid if they want to. What was your concern?
Yeah, I don't have super strong opinions on the base sizes moving up. I mean, I think it's kind of a thin pretext to say that some sculpts need a bigger base. I mean, there was a certain amount of sculpts, you know, in the before times that didn't really fit very well on their assigned base sizes, but they were kind of the exception and not the rule. Most things fit on 20 millimeters or 25 millimeters just fine. And I don't know that the aesthetic of moving everything up a size is that appealing to me, but it's not a deal breaker or anything. And one of my biggest concerns with moving up the base sizes is, you know, games have been played on a 6x4 for a very long time. And it would be hard to imagine that changing. Every FLGS, every Games Workshop,
yes,
every store pretty much uses 6x4 tables. And if you move everything up base sizes and the model count stays relatively the same, then you're going to have a situation where the unit footprints are going to be much larger, and that's going to make moving and just kind of the gameplay more difficult. And it's hard it's hard to see a situation where you have a unit of 40 models on 30 millimeter bases. You know, that's a really big footprint. Or if you have 60 Night Goblins or 60 Skaven Slaves in a unit on 25 millimeter bases, I mean, you're really getting into a situation there where the unit footprint is so big, you know, it's going to make the gameplay kind of tricky.
I really suspect that for that reason, that we may see a lot smaller unit sizes than in 8th, not necessarily down to the size of 6th, but I don't know that we're going to see unit sizes as big as we saw in 8th. Could be wrong. Who knows? But that may be one way of solving that issue.
Yeah, because I play Beastmen and I use a horde of Bestigor. I use a horde of Gore, and they're 25 millimeter bases now, and it's a pretty substantial footprint. I mean, it's not, it's, you know, taking up a fair percentage of your deployment zone, and to bump that up to 30s, that's going to be pretty unwieldy. It's going to be hard to move around terrain. It's going to be hard to maneuver the unit well. It's going to be like a big, you know, kind of like a Bretonian lance. It's just really tricky and difficult to move around the table sometimes. It's going to be hard.
Yeah, there's a number of times when you just can't get your horde into the combat that you want or into a combat at all because of terrain or other units, blocking, all sorts of stuff that makes it unwieldy.
Templates end up taking an inherent nerf just because they're able to hit less of everything, right? So, stone thrower templates hits less things. The foot of Gork, the beloved foot of Gork, just straight up hits less things. So things just get an inherent nerf unless the templates change. But I don't necessarily see them using larger templates than what they use in Horus Heresy, which I believe Horus Heresy uses the equal size templates as they used in Warhammer Fantasy. So I don't think the templates will necessarily take or be different in the old world. It's just going to be an issue where those things are just nerfed by
if I remember correctly, it's just catching straight nerfs. His falling over template, just getting the nerf pad.
They just need to make it based on that mega gargant size template. You know, just do the full size.
There we go. I'll take it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's another thing that in sixth or seventh, they did it where you didn't get hits. You didn't get definite hits for stuff that wasn't fully under the template. But I think all templates tended to have a higher strength. And that's why some of the older stuff that didn't get revamped in 8 still has that higher strength on the template. So that may be a way of solving it. It's not necessarily going back down to half hits or whatever, rolling for hits. But having a higher strength, and so fewer hits, but higher strength may be a solution. Who knows? I
mean, that's, yeah,
you know, an option. Although I don't know if you're going to get higher than the foot of Gork strength 6, stomping on my poor. What did I take against you?
I think it was Saurus. I think I claimed 43.
My vampire Saurus count. Well, yes, also my Saurus, but also my vampire count in our most recent game. So, yeah, I do think that the reason the base sizes are going up is for the new armies that they released. If you look at Warriors of Chaos, they had Chosen, Warriors, Knights, and, like, not Minotaurs released for them. And from what I've seen of pictures is you might be able to get them with a lot of finagling to fit on 25 mils like Warriors and stuff are, but it's not easy. And then also the VC, like I have the skeletons and the zombies and the direwolves that came out for VC, and the direwolves and zombies can fit on 25s, but the skeletons I have 20 and they fit, but it is, you really have to plan it out. So I do think that's why they're going up in the base sides.
What do we think like Chaos Warriors will go up to? Will they go to like a 30 or a 32?
I think we're going to see the same base sizes is what they are in AOS, but just square. So, you know, 25s, and I think they have 32s and 28 and a halfs or something like that. Maybe 32 and a halfs. I can't remember.
Does anybody think that, so I believe it's only absolutely confirmed that 20s are going to 25s. They said that some 25s are going to stay 25s, but other 25s are going to go up to an unreleased number.
That,
and that 25s to 50s are going to be sometimes going up as well. Does anybody else think that all the bases just in general are going to swell and get slightly bigger, like chariots and stuff like that?
That was the information that they gave when they talked about base sizes a few weeks ago. But at Warhammer Fest, they said a little bit more concretely that 20s will go up to 25s, 25s will go up.
Okay.
And that all cavalry will go up.
Okay. Interesting. But so I guess they didn't mention things with larger bases like monstrous infantry and
or Arachnarok spiders.
Or Arachnarok spiders. I'm just going to keep the smaller base with my Arachnarok spider. I think it's
I can't imagine that they'd go up with that. It's already so big.
We'll see. We shall see. I hope not either. But I'm kind of in the camp personally where I kind of think that all the base sizes are going to swell. And then if that is the case, then like Mike said, just this is I don't think he said this, but I kind of think that Warhammer Fantasy is a game about movement. And if everything just has a larger footprint, then there's less movement options, it feels like. But we'll see.
Well, all I know is I'm going to find GW's subsidiary for their basing company, and I'm going to purchase a lot of stocks in GW bases so that I can make some money as everyone's rushing to buy those to change them, or at least as a few people are, if they do go up in all of them. Do we have any other thoughts on base sizes? All right, then. Let's talk about some of the stuff that they talked about at Warhammer Fest. Also, some things that we saw just a couple of weeks ago. Let's actually talk about what we saw just a couple of weeks ago. We got a community development diary on the Old World that was revealing the weapons of war. You have some of those pictures. What did y'all think about that? What do you see? What do we have there?
I really liked the Tomb King. I guess it was Tomb King Ambertonians, but I really liked seeing the Tomb King sculpt designs. These aren't actually printed. These are just, I guess, images from their CAD tools, I would assume.
Yeah, it looks like 3D renders.
Yeah, I really like the Tomb King stuff. I think the whole Tomb King aesthetic, it's really hard to get wrong, and they kind of leaned into it, and I think it looks great.
Yeah, the only thing I don't like is the little bone hanging from the standard. I don't know why. I just don't like Tomb Kings having random skulls and bones hanging off and stuff. But I cut that stuff off of most of my armies anyway. So, you know, that is what it is.
Do you guys think the Bretonian stuff that you showed here, it's helmets, shields, and then a bunch of sword arms? You assume, my assumption is those are for like the foot knights that they've kind of hinted at being a part of the new Bretonian army.
Yeah, those very well might be. They look good. I mean, they look very, not standard, but they're not too much so that you'd go, oh my goodness, I feel like I'm having to paint a hero for every foot knight or for every knight.
Yeah.
Which maybe you should feel that way with Bretonia, but.
I couldn't tell if those 3D renders were for foot knights or for some sort of mounted knights that are having hand weapons as an option.
Right. Well, my only assumption was that, you know, they showed off that they're going to be reprinting old Bretonian sculpts. And I'm assuming the Knights of the Realm that they showed off, they're not redesigning, and that these maybe were the foot knights instead. So,
right. Yeah. Yeah, what we're seeing, what we're looking at is just some 3D renders of some helmets, some shields, and some weapon arms. So no torsos or legs or horses or anything. And then for the Tomb Kings, it's spears, kopeshs, and flail, shield, banner, and a bunch of scarabs, scorpions, such.
What do you Bretonian players think of the shields, the renders of the shields? Because they're definitely more ornamented than what I've seen from people's posts.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. It's whatever.
Hey.
I'm not getting, like, people get, like, all bent out, like, oh, it's over-designed AOS, like, design philosophy or design paradigm or whatever, and it's like, no, I mean, it's whatever.
Yeah, I actually think these are much similar.
Always all over the place in Bretonnia anyway, so.
Yeah, I don't think they're too much. I don't think they're as similar to some AOS over design or or busy design, there's still some pretty simple flat surface that you could put decals on or whatnot. So,
right.
Good. I thought they were fine too. They didn't offend me or anything. I probably, you know, I have a lot of Bretonians already. I don't know if I'm going to get more. I kind of like old aesthetics anyways, but what I thought was most interesting about, I guess, that release, or maybe it was the one after that, was the fact that basically all the core elements of the Bretonian miniature range are going to be re-released. It kind of indicated you have the peasant archers, the men-at-arms, the Pegasus Knights, and the Knights of the Realm, which kind of going to make up for the most part, you know, the majority of a Bretonian army. And those are basically all going to be the old range that was released in 2004. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah, they didn't show any character models in those pictures, did they?
I have a feeling we're going to see more updates to character stuff. GW does seems to do a lot of just single character releases now. It's a much more common thing, like especially if they have an army book or some special event for some faction, and then it'll be, I mean, if it's 40K, it's a Space Marine Lieutenant. But for others, I think we're going to see those types of things. Plus, you get a lot of characters in Underworlds and those types of games, so we may see some that do crossover. I'm not sure.
Right.
What that indicated to me was that, you know, these armies are going to pretty clearly going to be relying very heavily on the old ranges, and that's kind of mirrors what came out with the information from Warhammer Fest today. Is we're going to have a really heavy emphasis on things that we've already produced in the past, and we're going to be re-releasing them. And so that's where we're going with this. Don't expect totally new ranges or even heavily revamped ranges. You're probably going to be looking at ranges that are well established.
Yeah. Before we jump straight to Warhammer Fest, did y'all have any other thoughts, especially the two of you who've painted up Bretts? Are you going to be offended when someone brings a Bretonian force that is all the same colors of a single lord? Are y'all going to go crazy?
No, I mean, I think I mentioned this on the Discord when it first came out that, you know, my preferences and how I've painted mine is with all the different heraldry colors and stuff. That, I mean, that's what I wanted to do when I started collecting it. That was the aesthetic that kind of drew me in. And I thought I was at like a good enough spot in my painting skills that I could pull it off. And that's gone well. But I mean, it doesn't offend me if someone feels like they want to do like a two or three, you know, color scheme for their whole army. It can look nice as well. So,
yeah. So they had some errantry. I think did they talk about the errantry wars in that article as why
you can do that? Yeah. They talked a little bit about, you know, like whether this army that you're painting is like a local baron's army or something like that, that just uses his colors. But then they're also going to have rules for, I think it was like questing armies and then like, what was it? Robber barons or baron kings or something like that.
I don't know what's going on in Bretonnia. In spite of us reviewing the army book, I still don't
know. Or like exile, knights in exile or something knights like that. Exile.
So, yeah. That was it. Yeah.
I would like to touch on what you just said though, because if they have rules for specific factions, then there's been some speculation, I think, that all factions will get sub-faction specific rules to some degree, which is that like kind of like a sixth edition thing?
This makes me really, this is the part that makes me hopeful, is what the changes that we've seen in GW since they dropped fantasy. You know, they have new CEO. They've had a lot of changes, and a couple of the ways are they have a lot more community engagement through Warhammer community and other things like that, videos and all that stuff. And then they do more, I guess, releases similar to, a little different than the sub-factions that would be in White Dwarf or would show up for Six, that kind of heyday of fantasy for a lot of people, even though Eighth is clearly superior. So I do think that that's going to be one positive, is that I'm hoping that GW has that in mind.
Yeah. Well, and if I could touch on what you just said too, like one thing that old GW would have never, like, you wouldn't have known about the old world. Like if they were releasing a whole new game, you would never have known about it until a month before it came out.
Right.
Them announcing something so far in the future, or so far before it was released, I should say, that's a new thing. Like, I don't think we've ever seen that before. from them.
Right. Which, does anyone feel like changing their mind on when they think the old world's going to release? Has anyone moved to a 2023 release with me, or are y'all still 2024 grumpy fellows?
I don't know. They've kind of accelerated the updates we're getting, so it's hard to say. Yeah, I don't know.
If I keep 2024, then I can be pleasantly surprised if it's 2023.
There you go.
True.
I don't think any of the new releases or information that we've gotten the last month or so has made me think this timeline is going to be shorter than I did before.
I'll be out on this branch all alone.
Coming a lot quicker, Mike.
What was that, Evan?
Like, even with the updates coming more frequently, like, we've gotten two in this month alone.
I don't think that's a sustained enough pattern to indicate we're going to be getting updates more frequently.
All right. Well,
in a hope, as always.
Yeah. I'm going to be unpleasantly disappointed if it doesn't come out in 2023, just because that was my guess as a contrarian. All right.
I'd be surprised if we didn't find out today that it's going to be sometime in 2023, that it would be 2023. I think if it was going to be sometime in 2023, they could have indicated that today, and it would have been a good time to do it.
I don't remember. I mean, I don't follow Horus Heresy, but I don't think they told everyone that Horus Heresy was coming out at X date, except for maybe a couple months before it came out. I don't know, though. So that may be, I don't know, somewhere to mine for information, but
I think it would have been exciting for them to put up a sixth slide maybe that had, you know, late 2023 or autumn of 2023 or Christmas 2023 or something.
A sixth slide? Do you think this is 40K, Mike? This is not 40K. We don't do six slides for the old world.
I don't know if they could afford, if that was in the budget, or if they had another 5 minutes to do that, but.
Interns got to get their smoke breaks. I mean, they can't be responsible for a sixth slide.
Union PowerPoint makers.
They're getting paid by the slide. Yeah.
All right. Well, with that in mind, let's go over to what they talked about, what was going on with Warhammer Fest. They had an announcement with about 5 slides. So who wants to tell us about our lovely slides?
Did anyone actually watch it live?
I don't think any of us did.
Yeah, I just got all the Discord chatter after it
hit. Obviously, it was a live event that took place in Nottingham, England, and all of us here.
It was somewhere else.
Was it not Nottingham?
Yeah, no. I think Carrie mentioned it was in Manchester.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Well, so, it was in England, and all of us live in the central time zone of the United States, and I don't think any of us went over there for it. But fortunately for us, we had a member of our Discord who was there and able to provide us with all of the information and updates that we could ask for. So yeah, it was very nice to have Tin.
So tell us about the confirmation. What armies are they going to start out with for the old world?
So one of the slides indicated that the first two armies to get attention will be Bretonnia versus Tomb Kings. Returning models and new models for both. I love the way it's phrased. The first two armies to get attention, you know, like whatever that means exactly. I mean,
I think this is talking about a campaign style release thing where we're looking at, they're going to tell a story about Bretonnia versus Tomb King. And as they tell that story, those are going to be the ones to get, you know, maybe a couple character models, maybe a new unit, or maybe an update for one or two of the units already before they move on to the next part of the narrative. At least that seems to be the way GW likes to do stuff right now.
I thought the language could have been more precise. They could have just said the first two armies to be released are going to be Bretonnia and Tomb Kings, not the first two armies to get attention.
Well, I don't think they want to say that the first two released are going to be those. I think they may release a lot more models at the very beginning, and that those are going to be the two ones to get something new. So that you'd be able to buy maybe old orcs or even dark elves, some of the ones that were gone or whatever, but that those are the two armies that are going to get updates. That's how I took it.
Yeah, and even just the phrasing Bretonians versus Tomb Kings is slightly misleading, which we'll talk about in a little bit, I'm sure.
I think that's why, like, again, that's why I think that there's a kind of narrative side to it. But yes, it did. They did lead to some confusion that we'll talk about later.
So you're right. That'd be really cool. I think like a narrative campaign set around those two with some model releases and like a book would be really cool.
Oh, I would actually, that would be my guess. I'd be surprised if they didn't. I think that that's the way that this will come about, but that's just me guessing. No info. So those are going to be, we've got Bretts versus Tomb Kings as the two first armies to get attention. What they said, new models, what actually, before we skip to the what new models, what else are we going to see? What shape are these models going to take? What else did they say?
That's a great question, Ryan. What shape do you think they're going to take?
Look at the picture by Hot Tub Mike in the bookcast. These are going to be in plastic and resin.
Oh, right. Plastic and resin. Yeah, everybody was really worried about resin. And even I, whenever I heard about resin, I was like, I don't know. But from what I hear, the resin quality for Horus Heresy has been relatively good. But, you know, everybody has their own opinions on what they get.
It's fine. It's whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really want to, you can avoid it. I mean, we had resin in 8th edition Warhammer Fantasy. And,
right.
You know, if you really... really want to, you can avoid it. You can go get old metal, or you can get the plastic, or there's rare situations where you were really stuck with no other option but to utilize resin.
And I think it's okay to mention right now that there's a Q&A section that we'll talk about later, but they did mention that there will be some metal models as well, so I thought that was worth mentioning. I don't know why they didn't mention it on this slide, but
it was clearly a very well put together and thought out PowerPoint presentation.
I would say that it's probably some of the Skaven models that are still metal, but they also mentioned something about that in the question and answer. So what they did say, though, is that there are going to be a lot of returning models for the factions, and every army that was in 8th edition will be playable. Sad Dogs of War sounds. No paymasters for you. And they're going to feature starting with old world armies. So that does seem perhaps sad. Lizardman sounds that the focus will not be on them, although they would be playable. Any other thoughts on that?
Yeah, it sounded like a Ravening Horde situation from when the transition from 5th to 6th edition. What happened there was 5th edition to 6th edition was actually a pretty big change in the gaming system. And you really couldn't use the 5th edition army books in 6th edition. So what they did was they released Ravening Hordes, which was like a booklet which gave you temporary army lists, temporary rules and abilities to use your 5th edition armies on a temporary basis until all the 6th edition army books were released. So what we're seeing here between 6th and 8th edition, you could play the new edition with the previous army book from the older edition for most armies. And so what we're seeing here is kind of more of a 5th to 6th transition from an 8th to the old world transition. So, none of us are going to have playable army books really at the beginning. We're going to have this Ravening Horde style situation, and we're going to be able to play our armies, with temporary kind of army books / army templates / army lists.
Yeah, that does seem to be the case.
So do you expect the... first edition or whatever, this starting out point for the old world, presumably they've been doing internal testing, I would think, but do you expect it to be more balanced, less balanced than 8th, have more thought into list design or
anything? From all accounts, Ravening Hordes was really balanced. You just didn't have as much variability because it was smaller lists. I suspect they'll be longer than the 2 pages, I think, that most lists had in Ravening Hordes, but I'd suspect a fair degree of balance.
And my assumption, this is going to be like a PDF rule thing, not like a printed book, but I could be wrong on that. That would be the way I would do it. But
yeah, since we're in 2023, I think it, just the way GW does things nowadays is they release Right. I mean, I don't play a lot of the modern games, but my understanding is they release and update things online. So.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it could be a General's Compendium type thing where they release some big thing, but I think that they're starting to do more PDF online book type stuff so that we may see that.
It was funny, the Dogs of War got kind of a temporary list for 6th edition, and if you read the 2004 compendium where it has the Dogs of War, the last official list, it talks about how it's kind of a transitory kind of, a list that can be used until they get a book, and of course they never get a book, and so, you know, 2004 was the last time they
take a little got salt, any rules. Take and a little salt, rub it in the wound.
They got their Ravening Hordes list and never got it updated. I mean, it still works in 8th edition, but, you know, it's obviously kind of forgotten.
Yeah.
It's a bit behind the curve, yeah.
I'm sure there'll be a community book for the whole world.
Yeah. 18 people will write a Dogs of War book. all right, so the next slide is some artwork of some Tomb King skeletons definitely about to kill a knight. And then we get to the models. We have some models. What do we see, Bretonnia boys?
In the Bretonnia versus Tomb King story, he's killing an orc.
As it should be. The fodder of the Warhammer world.
Yeah, we have a gentleman foot knight. It looks like it's described as a paladin, a Bretonnian paladin. So that's the hero level character for the Bretonnians, and he's
Is that the virtue of Bosworth, a foot knight? his horse, kingdom for a horse.
Yeah, well, whatever you want to call it.
Anyways, traditionally Bretonnians haven't fought on foot. In 5th edition, they had foot knight models. Not exactly sure on the rules behind that. I wasn't playing in 5th, but this is definitely a transition to what looks like a more ability to use knights on foot, kind of like they indicated in the release a couple weeks ago. So looks like that's where we're going with things.
This guy really reminds me of it's not the knights errant. What is it? The questing knights, how they have, you know, a big sword and they've got stuff on their back that they're carrying with them, or a chest of drawers, whatever it is. He seems to have a lot of accoutrements that remind me of those models.
You can actually, I'm pretty sure you might be able to see the coconuts that get used to make the horse clicking sounds.
Very nice, yes.
Yeah, he definitely looks like he's on some sort of journey. So not sure what the rules are going to be.
I think it's a really cool model. The more I looked at it when you posted that picture again, and I was kind of looking at the details, it's a really, really nice model, I think.
Yeah, I mean, someone could really go hog wild with painting it. I mean, there's little shields everywhere that could have different stuff on the sword, on the shoulders. I mean, there's really a lot of opportunity for customization and really going all out and making this a beautiful model. Not that the GW paint job isn't already a beautiful model. They did a good job with it.
It's also kind of an interesting mix of the, you know, whatever studio army they've been working on that they showed off a couple of weeks ago with that black and red color scheme.
Yeah.
And there's small details like on the, you know, the cross guard of his sword and on top of his helmet and that sort of stuff of his, like maybe his personal heraldry or whatever.
That's a great point. Yeah. Does anyone know there's one of the pictures, there's like a jug and a bag and something coming out of the bag. I have no idea what that is. It's coming.
Yeah,
I
can't figure out what that is either.
It is weird. Look, it looks like some sort of fleshy thing, and it's kind of freaking me out. But okay, well, unless someone else has a thought on it. Any other thoughts on the Brett Paladin?
No, I think he's great.
Yeah, really good. Okay.
Yeah, I like his pack of stuff on the back. I'm looking really closely to what you're saying, and I have no idea what that is.
Maybe when we get hands on the model, we'll be able to figure it out and go, oh, that makes sense, or not.
Wouldn't it be hilarious if this was like they had like a few customizable pieces, and instead of the orc head, you could have like five or six different heads of different factions?
Oh,
that would be great.
That would be great.
I do have a question about a Bretonnian paladin on foot. So what would this Bretonnian paladin on foot need to have for a Bretonnian player to want to take it over a you know, a mounted paladin on either a Pegasus or on a horse, where he's getting, you know, plus one armor save from being mounted, plus one armor save from the barding, I believe.
Usually, so like you have to take the first, you have to pay 10 points to not be on a horse in the sixth edition book.
Okay. So they actually existed in sixth edition.
Yeah. It was the virtue of empathy you had to take. And it was like, I think it was 10 points. You could be on foot instead, which means you could stick him like in your back line with some peasant archers, or I think you could even put him in men at arms. And then, you know, with the leadership rules for Bretonnia, he has a 6-inch bubble of leadership that he can give to all the peasant units around him. So he's like kind of a babysitter for a peasant area of your force usually.
It wasn't an optimal selection and it was rare to see.
No. Yeah.
Well, I mean, this model looks great. I suspect that alone will get some people wanting to put him in their units because he's great looking.
Yeah, we just don't know the nature of the new Bretonnian army book or the new rules for the old world. So it might actually be a viable, you know, thing, Bretonnian foot knights or using a Bretonnian hero on foot. We just don't really know, you know, what's going to happen.
If your lords can still get shot off a hippogriff, he's your stand-in for when he's just walking around on foot.
That's a good
Fair,
point.
True. Yeah.
That would never happen.
No.
Not
hippogriffs are notoriously tough.
Yeah, they're just there to carry someone with heroic killing blow. Mm-hmm. All right,
strongest of the available hippos,
the griff. So let's move on to the Tomb King model. We have a Tomb King. What do y'all think?
I love this model. I love this model in general, but some people have had some criticism of the face, which I see. I'd like to see the skin in a different color, as far as the ornaments and the overall design and the pose and the weapons, it just looks awesome.
Yeah, for those who haven't seen it yet, you should definitely go and look at it. The face is painted maybe in a lighter tone of the ghostly green that they use for a lot of ghosts in heavy metal stuff. And then also I'm noticing this now, that same green seems to be used for like maybe some flesh or skin still on the bones. Are y'all seeing that?
Mummified flesh underneath.
Yeah. So I don't know why they use that color for flesh, but that seems to be it. And you may be right, Brian, that if they use a pallid, off whitish color, that may look a lot better. Cause I'm one of the ones that thinks that the face looks too ghostly alive or zombified alive. I don't know. Someone made a meme with a Plants vs. Zombies zombie face in there, and that actually looks what it looks like.
My only thought is that for them showing off the model, that it's making it more readable, you know, because it's a lot of like tans and golds and stuff. So if you had like a kind of stretched out bleached skin or something underneath it, it just, maybe you can't see as many details of the model, but
yeah, because that cloth right beside it is off-white, and so that could definitely be the problem.
That'd almost be more like what you think the skin color would be, but
All the more reason not to use that color on your own. Okay, so does this mean, Brian, that you're selling some Dark Elves and starting Tomb Kings?
I don't know. This model here has a distinct lack of chariot, so I'm not completely sold on Tomb Kings yet.
You don't want a bunch of the old chariots if they re-release those?
I mean, if they re-release a whole bunch of chariots, I don't think I'm going to move away from Dark Elves. I think I'm just going to spend more money on another army.
As is tradition. Yes.
There you go. As Mike says, never sell. Never sell.
I like the new Tomb King a lot. I can't wait to have Tomb Kings re-released and be able to buy an army for myself. It's definitely an army I'd love to collect and play. And, I actually kind of like the bluish green, kind of aesthetic of the skin and the face. I don't mind it at all. And I like the paint job generally. I like the blue and the red, and I think it's a really good looking model, and looking forward to all the Tomb King fun I can have in the next few years. Really excited.
Oh yeah.
Ironically, Ironically, Brian talking about him not being on a chariot. He looks like he could be on a chariot. Like you could put that model on a chariot. And it
absolutely
makes sense with him kind of like, you know, pushing his scepter forward or whatever.
Saying, cool. You know, telling all the chariots to move forward with him. Absolutely.
True.
That is one model that never fit on the base was the Tomb King Setra chariot. If you look at the pictures of it, it's like the wheels of it are coming off the back of the chariot base, like really hardcore.
Yeah.
Oh man, when I bought that big set of Tomb Kings, the guy that sold it to me just totally threw in a Setra.
Well, awesome. He doesn't fit on the base, so you'll have to figure that out, Ryan.
I think I'll survive. I'll be okay.
So if the starting box is Bretonians versus Tomb Kings, Mike, are you going to keep the Bretonians or are you going to try to ship them off?
What, I'm going to get rid of the Bretonian army I just spent the last 7 years painting?
Well, I mean, I just mean that, you know, you might have models that, you know, wouldn't make it to the table. So maybe you'd be looking to get rid of them at a below MSRP.
No, I've collected 5th edition Bretonians since like 2008 over like the course of 15 years, slowly and surely, and painted them.
He's not
them
getting what you're saying, Brian.
I'm not getting rid of them.
Brian's saying, are you going to get rid of the ones in the starter, in the set? Like, this actually leads us to the question and answer, because this gets to a confusion that there's going to be a starter set. Is there going to be a starter set?
Well, it's weird because somebody asked if there's going to be a starter set and they said no, but it seems like GW defined starter set as, you know, coming with like a map and tokens and books and stuff like that. But really what was being asked is, can we expect an army versus army, two armies in a box at release? That's where a lot of the confusion came from. And I don't know that we even got a clear answer on that. But we'll see.
One more thing before we move on from the models. I think it's important to note that both of these models, just looking at them immediately, you know, they're like Warhammer fantasy. Because they're guys standing flat on the ground, and they are in a pose, and you can see them sitting in like a unit of guys, which with like a lot of AOS models, like they're so dynamic and there are so many little spindly parts and stuff like that. You know, it's for like a skirmish game, but this immediately speaks to me that it's for like a rank and flank game.
I even feel like the Tomb King could squeeze on a 20. Am I crazy? I think it could.
Yeah, probably could. 20.
All right. So let's talk about what we heard in the question and answer. We already know that it was really kind of confused about the army book or the army starter set. We don't know what GW thinks is a starter set. Most players think that a starter set is, you know, like two armies put together. And GW seems to think it only when it has, like, I don't know, whatever, a set of things that magically turns it into a starter set instead of a dual box, whatever. But yeah, they had that clarification. There is going to be some sort of dual box, but it's not considered a starter set by GW. What else did we learn? What are we going to see? What are we not going to see? And what are we not going to see immediately?
Do we want to just like quickly go through all those kind of summarized notes that Tim sent while he was at the Q&A?
Yeah.
I think so. Do you want to go through those real quick, Ryan?
Oh, me? Sure. They said Mordheim is reliant, perhaps, on the success of the Old World, so Mordheim players may get something if they buy a ton of the Old World miniatures. Forge World monsters are not going to be coming back into production, but there will be rules for them. They're going to release a base size thing. I think this is actually my biggest point of frustration is they said they're going to release a base size guide before or when the game releases. And that they said something about like, what should we be doing in the meantime? And they said, well, you know, paint up your models, but don't base them. And to me, that's just ridiculous. Like, just tell us the base sizes so that we can start doing stuff. That I'm not someone who thinks that GW is thumbing their nose at all the players or anything like that. And I don't think that they're doing that here. I do think it's either inconsiderate or there's some financial factor of them wanting people to wait to release until release, but I can't think of what that would be. And I think that that's a ridiculous thing to do.
My assumption would be that there might be some weird base sizes that nobody makes, that they're going to be selling. Yeah. And if they release that too early, that, yeah, exactly. Your stock and your, big base,
subsidiary.
Yeah. that, you know, they don't want some third party company to come in and start selling these. And if you have a list of all that and you're day one ready, there's no reason for you to buy them from GW. That's my cynical side, but it also makes the most business sense too.
Right. So. Yeah. That one's a little frustrating.
My take on it is that they haven't put the resources into the game, and I don't know that they even know what all the base sizes are going to be at this point for all the different things. And their answer to someone asking what are the base sizes going to be is, we haven't figured that out yet, you know, stay tuned. And that's kind of where I think it's at. I mean, I don't think they're putting super amounts of time and resources and thought into all of this. So
a 2024 conspiracy theorist would think that, Mike. Us 2023 people know the truth.
Well, a lot of Warhammer-centric people seem to think, you know, the world revolves around Warhammer and GW revolves around what they want. But it seems to be, you know, with this five slide PowerPoint presentation looks like it was put together in 25 minutes by an intern. It, you know, it might not be the case that it's the Warhammer fantasy is getting the attention you think it deserves. And they might not have thought about all of the base sizes at this point, because there's a lot of base sizes to consider. There's a ton of units. And they just probably haven't even, you know, sat down and mapped it all out yet.
I think they've put all the people that used to be on Space Marines working on the old world. So I think, you know, that's why 2023.
And I mean, I've waited 8 years for the game to come back. And so waiting another 6 months to find out the base sizes, you know, I mean, it's not a big deal to me. I think the kind of impatience is a little ridiculous. I mean, come on.
All right, continuing on down the list, there will be rules for Chaos Dwarves, but there won't be a faction focus, at least in the early period. Did they say anything about Kislev? I don't think they did, right?
I don't remember anything being mentioned.
Maybe no one asked a question.
But we know that is something they've worked on just from you know, the earliest post they had about the old
the art.
World.
Yeah, they've got artwork on it, so. You know.
I think they generally said that new armies are going to be on the back burner and not something that's going to be at the forefront. So whether it's Cathay or Kislev, you know, that's not something you're going to be seeing really quickly or immediately, things that have full new model ranges. Right. So any type of army that's going to be a completely new army, you're going to be not seeing that within the first year, at least probably, of Warhammer the Old World.
Yeah. I think the most exciting thing for me was when they said that they aren't simplifying things, because I like the crunchiness of Warhammer Fantasy. I like being able to really develop characters and units and all that stuff, and not purchasing, you know, a set unit that has 20, you know, models in it, but being able to say, I want 23 of these guys. So I hope they don't simplify things. And they said that it sounded like that they weren't, and that this would still be a complicated war game.
Who was it on the Discord? I think it was Cornello, maybe, that was saying, like, oh, thank God we can keep gatekeeping. I think everyone got a pretty good chuckle out of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is just me personally. Like, once I jumped into it, I think it's fairly simple once you start playing. You just have to start playing, right? And then you can get it.
I mean, there's no doubt about it that there's a lot of rules and there's a lot to know. And even if you're a veteran player, there's things you forget. I've been playing with some people that, you know, they still struggle with some aspects of the rules in the game. And, you know, we've been playing a very long time. And I mean, there's a lot. It's a lot there that it takes. There's definitely a learning curve, and you definitely have to apply yourself and even, you know, study to figure everything out.
And when you're playing against friends, be like a gracious opponent and like remind your friends of things.
Yeah. Don't gotcha with the rules.
Right.
All right. So that was when they said that there would not be a starter box like happened with Horus Heresy. I love that they said it that way. And then they're like, oh no, what we meant was that there's a comma there. So it was, there won't be a starter box like with Horus Heresy, that also did not have a starter box. And then, of course, everyone's looking at the starter box in Horus Heresy saying, isn't that a starter box? But not according to
GW. Yeah, exactly.
So
punctuation's hard, guys.
Come yeah, on. Especially in a spoken medium.
Yeah.
Which does speak to why this probably should have or will hopefully become some sort of Warhammer community article where they clarify some of the stuff said here, because it's question and answer. So when they say things like Skaven aren't going to be a focus faction at start, and people start saying, oh, that means that there's not going to be any Skaven in the game. No, they're just saying maybe some of the first narratives or the first armies that will be in sets are that they're going to update are not going to be Skaven, right? So that's answering a specific question.
Yeah, I mean, you guys remember when Warhammer was still alive, and there was always just speculation on, oh, what's the next army book going to be? Like, is it going to be this? Is it going to be that? And, like, them coming out and saying, hey, we're telling you right now it's not going to be this one, like, anytime soon. Like, it's right. Just pissing people off. It's like, yeah. They'd much rather, like, just wildly speculate on what's going to be done first when they're just telling you outright, no, it's going to be these, and it's not going to be these.
Yeah. All right, so they said that the focus is going to be on factions in the old world. We're assuming that to mean the area around the Empire. And then they'll decide if that's the best way to continue, I guess, and see if they move the narrative, if that's the way they do it, onto other stuff. So we've seen, if you haven't seen maps, there are some maps of the old world and what might be the factions that are there. So,
oh boy, are there maps.
There are. There are. They talked about upgrade kits, that there may be upgrade kits to supplement older kits, but it's more likely you're just going to get new kits when they upgrade. So, you know, your old skeletons will be gone, replace them with the new skeletons, that type of thing. And then, of course, I've mentioned this before, and as much as I give them a hard time, it is a little sad we will not see Dogs of War as an official. I'm sorry, doesn't say they won't be an official. It says they will not be the initial focus. So I don't know if they'll get rules. Who knows?
Yeah, I really hope they do. I mean, they've been on my mind for a while to definitely do a Dogs of War army here in the relatively near future. So I'm really looking forward to building a Dogs of War army. If I have to play 6th, 7th, or 8th with them, that's fine. But hopefully they find a place in the old world, because I think they bring a lot to the Warhammer universe.
I can't remember. Did any of the maps that we've gotten show like anything about like the Border Princes or any of that area?
There was a Border Prince map, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was a map.
Mentioned them in one.
Yeah, they definitely, one of the community releases kind of had an emphasis on the Border Prince region. You know, if there's some sort of rebranding or Dogs of War or some sort of Dogs of War / Border Princes / third human faction, you know, kind of amalgamation, you know, that could be a thing, but it's obviously not going to be, it's not really an eighth edition army. It doesn't seem like it's going to be an initial focus, and it's probably more in the Cathay, Kislev, you know, Chaos Dwarves timetable, if it ever happened.
Yeah, or like, you know, thinking about that Bretonian Exiles army or something like that, that maybe there's, you know, there's rules for a Bretonian army that also includes mercenaries. So you're bringing in things from other armies, and that's kind of like your stand-in for Dogs of War style armies.
Mm-hmm. The problem is Dogs of War don't have any models and haven't had any models since the 90s. So, and sure, I don't think they're going to reprint those 90s sculpts. So,
no, yeah, I see what you're saying for like, you know, the Al-Katani Fellowship or Leopold's Leopards or whatever. They're probably not going to reprint those, but you know, maybe there's a way you can take a unit of ogres in your, you know, army in exile or whatever they call it.
Right. Yeah. That they might make rules for some of the Dogs of War that could be connected to other armies and factions.
Right. Gotcha. Right. Yeah. Oh, just a thought.
So someone asked specifically about Lizardmen. The old skinny, scrawny Saurus will no longer exist. Anything that was kind of replaced in the new release of Seraphon in the AOS range. It seems like they'll be using those. So that's Saurus, Salamanders, Croxagor, and maybe Cold Ones. Maybe they have some like something called Aggrodons that may replace the Cold Ones. We don't know. So that, you know, that's what the Lizardmen are going to be. So again, just more confirmation that models that have AOS range updates, those are the updates for the old world. They're not going to, you know, reprint old skeletons. They're going to reprint. They're going to have you purchase the new version. And everything else. Oh, I think the last thing of note is someone asked if there's going to be boxes to make it easy to jump in. And it does sound like they're going to have some sort of battalion boxes / combat patrols from 40K, but battalion boxes from Warhammer Fantasy. Any thoughts?
It seems like I remember some discussion about how, I don't remember what question it was tied to, but they said that we don't expect you to be a new wargamer coming into the old world, that this is not a game for people who are, you know, newer to war games or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't recall which question that was a part of, but that kind of stood out to me as kind of a definitive stance that GW mm-hmm. was taking towards that subject.
That was when they were asked about, or when they answered about it being a complicated game. Right. They said, you know, this isn't something for a new wargamer to jump into. I actually think that's a mistake to have that attitude. I think you can have people jump straight into it if you sell them on the adventure and sell them on the stories and sell them on the models. I think you can do that. But I think if they couple that attitude with having really expensive battalion boxes that people can't jump in and just have an army right off the bat, I think you're looking at a struggling game, maybe. I think they really should reevaluate that attitude.
One thing I would say is you got to think of the audience that they're talking to at that moment.
Good point.
You're talking about people that travel to Warhammer Fest. These are all people that already play war games. So I think they're trying to reassure them that it's like, this is the game that you're going to want to play. But I think with any official things that they release on like Warhammer community, they're going to talk about ways that mm-hmm. beginner players or people that are coming from, you know, you might know them from Total War, Warhammer, or whatever. And
right.
This is how they play on the table, and this is what you can do to start your force. And then tying that back into the whole thing about like army or like battalion boxes or whatever you want to call them. You know, I think that I never really understood the like two army box like one versus one thing. Like I understand it as like a starter thing, but if they're not doing that as like a starter thing with like a rule book and some small terrain pieces and that sort of stuff, like it almost makes more sense to me to just do it as like, here's 15 or 20 models of the faction you actually like the look of, you know?
Well, I think that's where we get to the narrative thing. What they've been doing is including a narrative book in a lot of them. And so it's...
Right.
You know, if this is a game that does move the story forward in a way that Warhammer Fantasy didn't, then we're going to see, you know, maybe narrative supplements and also then narrative books in some of these boxes. And I do think that's a good way of growing the player base because people get attached to those stories. And so I do think that's a good mechanism. That may be the case.
That might be cool.
Yeah. But some of us just have... or want to have all the armies, Evan. So we're okay with buying the two together if it's a little cheaper. All right. Are there any other thoughts from Warhammer Fest, all that went on today?
No, I think we just about covered it. Thanks again to Tin on the Discord for
absolutely
sending that stuff over.
Yeah. And also thanks to Flammable Hero for always encouraging us to make new podcasts.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah, Tin giving us the information on the Q&A, that contained so much more meat than what was actually, you know, displayed to the people mm-hmm. in their PowerPoints and stuff.
Yeah. you can find the video. I think someone linked to it on the Discord. So you might want to search for the Warhammer Fest the old world announcement video question and answer. You can probably find that on YouTube. Go to the old world development diary. You can find stuff on Warhammer community about all that's going on. You can join the Discord. We always love chatting about Warhammer Fantasy, any edition, and that includes the old world. So thanks for listening to us. Have a great night. All right, well, that's all we have for today. We hope that next month you'll gather around the Hearthstone with us again.